Hebrews chapter number 11, and we're going to look at this subject about pleasing the Lord, pleasing God. And I hope, pray that that gets so big in us. And those of us that know it, we know the verses, we know the truths, that are, you know, pleasing God is a concept that we know about. May that be refreshed in us tonight. If you know we get away from that, so, you know, we need to be refocused. We need to have that refreshed in our heart about pleasing the Lord. Amen. And I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 11. And the Bible says in verse number 5, by faith, Enoch, when he was translated, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What about that? That's amazing, isn't it? Before his translation, that is before he died, before he went to heaven, he had a testimony that he pleased God. That tells us right there that God can be pleased. That tells us that God can be pleased by a man. Amen. Hello? That can tell us right there that God not only can be pleased, and that God can be pleased by man, but that God can be pleased in this life. Amen? You say, well, wait till I get to heaven, preacher. Man, I'm going to please the Lord. No, Enoch pleased the Lord beforehand. Enoch pleased the Lord in this life, in this body. Amen. And might I add that Enoch pleased the Lord in the days prior to the flood, which were wicked days such as you and I have never seen, but probably will. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We are living on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. And in Enoch's life, prior to the flood, he was driven by the inspiration and aspiration of wanting to please God. And if you want to please God, God will do something with your life. God will take you further than you ever thought that you would ever go, accomplish things you never thought you would accomplish, see and do things that you never dreamed that would be even possible. Amen. But if your heartbeat is for God and you want to please the Lord, I want to tell you, friend, God can use you, and he will use you. One of the greatest hindrances in anybody's life to being used of God is wanting to please self, or wanting to please others, or wanting others to please you. Amen. But if you want to please God, and you thrive off of that, and you're wanting God to please you, and he will, amen, God will do something for you, and God will help you, and God will take you places. God will, amen. That's right. Amen. Well, I ain't through reading yet. I got to preaching and I'm not even through reading yet. But he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse number 6 expounds more thoroughly that truth. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you'll help us tonight. Help us, our Father, to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord, to be pleasing to you tonight. Our Father, we pray your will to be done, and we'll give you thanks and give you the glory. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You be seated. I very seldom ever think about these verses, read these verses, but what I don't think about Brother Mike Compton preaching from these verses on numerous occasions or referencing these verses, and I believe they probably, no doubt, are his favorite verses and should be ours, or at least listed with our favorite verses. Enoch definitely is probably one of my most influential Bible characters. Everybody ought to have a Bible character, at least one, that really stands out above others, that really you see things in their life that you want to pattern your life after, things they did, things they didn't do, that you want to use in your life as an example. And Enoch is such a person that you and I can do. And I want to live a life to where somebody could say, you know what, I want to be like preacher. There, you know, I want to have that life. And everybody ought to have that desire that I want to make sure that there's nothing in my life that would serve as a stumbling block, that would be a hindrance to anybody that would want to emulate you. You know, you're supposed to be that way. You are supposed to be that way. You remember what Paul said? Paul said, be ye followers of me. Now, Paul said that. Paul said, be ye followers of me. And here's the qualification. Here's the qualification for that statement. Even as I also am of Christ Jesus. Paul said, as I am following Christ, then you follow me. And if I'm following Christ and you're following me, then in reality, you're following Christ. But Paul also indicates in that statement that if I ever deviate from Christ's likeness, or if I deviate from the principles of this book, then you cease to follow me. Amen? That's biblical. That's true. Amen? So I want to be a pattern. You should desire to be a pattern. But anyway, there's a lot that can be said and preached about this broad subject of pleasing God, pleasing the Lord. And I just wonder sometimes what RBT would be far as power with God and far as accomplishments for the Lord. I'm talking about far more than what we are. Brother Travis, if everybody here had their number one heartbeat, their number one thrive in their heart and life is to please God. To please God when everybody's looking. To please God when nobody's looking. Amen. Amen. What would that do to RBT? What levels would that take us to in our church? Amen. Living to please the Lord. And should that not be the desire of a saved person? Now I understand tonight, and you understand tonight, that a lost person will not, cannot have that desire. They can say those words, but their heart cannot back those words up. It's impossible for an unsaved person to have a desire to please God. No, because why? They're unsaved. They don't have the nature that is required to please God. They don't have the spirit that is required to please God. They don't have the life that is required to please God. Amen. When you get saved, God hooks you up with Him. You are regenerated. You have His spirit, His life. Amen. You have His nature. You love what He loves. You desire what He desires. You hate what He hates. Amen. And you desire to please Him. Amen. That is the... Amen. We're not coming to church and doing right and walking in paths of righteousness because we've got a thread on us, or because we've got our hands in the cuffs, or, you know, our feet in the stocks and God's behind us with a whip. No, I tell you what drives you. It's not that bondage or fear. What drives us is, you know, He saved me and I want to please Him. He saved me. He went to the extent of giving His own Son to die on an old rugged cross, to be persecuted and mutilated more than anybody that's ever been through this walk of life. And He did that for me. He did that for me. And I'll tell you why He did that. He wanted to please the judicial demands that you and I could not please. Are you listening? There's no way, Brother Craig, that I nor you nor any of us could please the righteous demands of the broken law of God. No way we could do that. That's why you can't be saved on anything you can do, is because you can never satisfy the demands of God's broken law. But Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we ought to shout for 30 minutes on this. Jesus Christ came here and was the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, amen, and presented to God my sacrifice of Himself, perfect, perfect, without spot and without wrinkle, thus in His death satisfied judicially the demands of a broken law. You know what the demands of a broken law cried out for Brother Fultz? Death. Condemnation. Amen. And I couldn't satisfy that. But Jesus Christ satisfied that for me. Amen. Though I could not please God judicially, I can please God spiritually. Say amen right there. Enoch pleased God, and he was still a man when he did it. Amen. Moses walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and they did so as a human being. Oh, yes. I want you to get that. You'll never please God judicially. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, let me say to you, no matter how good you try to be, that may be commendable, but it'll never be acceptable for your salvation. Never. Why? Because it's flawed. The best you can offer up to God is defective. The best you can give God has holes in it. It's blemished, amen. That's why God knew that if you and I are going to get saved, we could never produce a sacrifice. We could never raise a lamb perfect enough, amen, to please God. No. Oh my. So God says, I'll tell you what I'll do. Since you can't, I can. And so God says, I'll provide myself a lamb. And it definitely will be completely perfect and completely righteous. And then when by faith I accept Jesus as my Savior, what I'm in essence doing is I'm taking the finished work of Jesus, my lamb, the Lamb of God, and I'm offering it up as a basis for God to accept me. Hallelujah. And when God sees that perfect sacrifice of Jesus that you are offering up by faith, then God says, I accept you. Hallelujah. Amen. Though I could not please God judicially, but Jesus pleased God judicially for me, then now I can please God, amen, spiritually. And listen, I can please God practically. Enoch was in a real world, living a real life, and the Bible said he pleased God. What about that? Oh, yes. And so we're going to look at that, Lord willing, tonight, if the Lord will help us. Amen. This thing's getting bigger. Amen. It's a getting bigger the further we go. And I mentioned last week, let me just mention this real quickly. I mentioned in Matthew 24 about the days of Noah, how they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving marriage, and all that. And Enoch was in those days of Noah. He was in the days prior to the flood. And amen, are y'all listening? In fact, Enoch's, well, I won't get into that. That's a whole other story. But Enoch, listen, lived in the days prior to the flood. So in light of Matthew 24, we need to be getting ready for those days of the coming of the Lord. Be therefore ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We need to be getting ready. How did Enoch get ready for the flood? Walking with God, pleasing God, living for the Lord. Amen? That's right. And Enoch was a preacher too, by the way. You don't have to be a preacher to please God. Are you listening? You don't have to be a preacher to please God. Listen to Jude. Jude, verse number 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Are y'all seeing that? Enoch was, you count it from Adam, he was the seventh from Adam. He was in those days. But watch this right here. Enoch prophesied about the coming of the Lord with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds that they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. His message was about being ungodly. You see that? What, 1, 2, 3, 4 different times in verse 15 he uses the word ungodly. But Enoch lived with a consciousness and an awareness that a day's coming when God is going to come with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly. What about that? So you think that had anything to do with Enoch living for God and wanting to please the Lord? Is because he knew the day's coming. There's a reckoning day coming. There's a day coming. Jesus is coming. The Lord's coming. But let's look back in chapter 11 of Enoch. At Enoch. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. Chapter number 11, verse number 5. And then I want you to get this now. I wrote this down actually right before I left the house. There's four things that stuck out to me as I read through verse 5 and 6. Now, don't get that in your mind that I waited till I was getting ready to leave the house to study, okay? The Lord just gives me stuff all the time, and I'm having to write it down. And one reason I use this right here, and I had to learn the hard way, I'm so used to writing. If God gives me something, Brother Aaron, I'm writing it down. I'll hunt through, flip through my Bible, amen. I'll find me a piece of paper of some sort, whether it's an envelope, something. I'm going to write it down. But my problem is, I forget where I wrote it down. I don't know. It's a loose piece of paper, and it gets from here to yonder to Lord only knows where. And then I go hunting for it. I know I wrote it down, and I know it was good, and I know I need to give it to you, but I can't find it. So I thought, well, if I've got it in a spiral notebook, it may be mixed in with 400,000 other things, but if I flip through it, I'll find it. But the key is, write it down. God gives you something, write it down. Don't depend on your memory to keep it, because if you're like mine, your memory won't keep it. Amen. I'm talking about good things. Write it down and remember where you wrote it. Amen. God help us to learn that valuable lesson. But I noticed this, that it starts out, as you know, Hebrews 11 is the Hebrews Hall of Faith. And the Bible starts out verse 5 the same way that it starts out about Abel in verse number 4, Noah in verse number 7, Abraham in verse 8, and so on down through this chapter. By faith, and then it tells what they did. Meaning that their faith is what stirred that. Their faith was the foundation for what it said that they did. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. That come from his faith. His faith caused that. His faith produced that. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, in verse number 7, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Where did that come from? His faith. And if there's anything that's clear in chapter 11, it's this. Bible faith, scriptural faith, is active faith. James, of course, backs that up. James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. Amen. If you have a faith and all it is words and claims and there's no action, you don't build on it, your faith is your foundation and you don't build on that, then do you really have Bible faith? In fact, James chapter 2 tells us of an illustration of vain faith. He says in that verse that the devils also believe and tremble. But Brother Randy, the question is, are they saved? Devils there is referring to demons. There's nobody that believes in the existence of God more than demons do, than devils do. I promise you that. Amen? Oh, yes. I remember hearing I can't think of his name now, but he's a preacher down in North Carolina, down at Charlotte. I think it was Charlotte. Anyway, big name preacher back in the day, back in my early days. And he's gone, man. He's already dead in heaven. But he went and visited a man in the hospital that was demon possessed. And he went to deal with him and speak to him. And God told him to go. And he went there. And I've heard all this on tape. And I mean, he plays it, you know. And he recorded all of it. And he talked to that, talking about demons believing in God. I mean, they really do. But they're not saved. They're not saved. They don't have an active faith. All they have is an admitting faith. All they have is a confessing that God is real. But that don't save you. Real faith is active faith. Anyway, this man was witnessing. I wish I could recall his name. But he was witnessing to this man in that hospital room. And he was witnessing to him about salvation, and he was witnessing to him about Calvary.
and about the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And of course, that demon-possessed man, and I hope I never run across any. I've heard horror stories of people that have. And Brother Ed McAvey telling about people that he's had in his church that were there. And I mean, Brother McAvey, y'all have never met him. Some of you have. He's a big man. I mean, he's 6 foot whatever, and he's a big man. And there was a young girl. I don't know why I'm running all these rabbits, but young girl come to the front, and she would come to the front just growling and all this. Well, they got down in the altar with her and started praying with her, Brother McAvey did, and there was about 7 other men as big as he was, and she wasn't. He told me she wouldn't have been 90 pounds soaking wet, and she picked all 7 of those men up and carried them across the front of the church, and Brother McAvey said, God, if you don't help us, this girl is going to kill us. Are you listening? Demonic activity and demonic possession is real, buddy. You can believe that. And amen. But anyway, through that whole process, I don't need to leave you hanging on that. Through that whole process of them going into warfare over that little girl's soul, amen, about halfway through, Brother McAvey started pleading the blood of Jesus. And I mean, he said she was throwing them around like rag dolls, and them grown big men throwing them around. And he said he got to pleading the blood, just pleading the blood. Lord, you're going to have to help us. Pleading the blood of Jesus. And about that time, that voice out of that girl said, give her back. And brother, it registered with Brother McAvey. Give her back means you're losing. You're losing. And third, they turned up the heat on that. And brother, God set that little girl free. Amen. And she got saved. And I praise the Lord for that. But anyway, that man in that hospital room, that preacher was witnessing to him about Calvary and all that took place on Calvary. And that voice come out of that man and said, yes, we know. We were there. They believe in God, but they're not saved. Amen. Oh, you better make sure you have a Bible faith, which is an active faith. It is not just an admittance. I believe in the Bible. I believe God. I believe in His existence. I believe God created worlds. No, but faith gets in you, and it does something in your life. It brings principles in your life. It brings the reality of God in your life. Oh, yeah. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then verse 6 further supports it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So that is telling us that that Enoch pleasing God came out of and because of his faith. I'm serious. I'm really concerned about a lot of people that claim to be saved and they seemingly have no active, stirring, productive faith in their life. Amen. It's not just that, you know, Lord help me to preach right here. We're just going to mind him. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You're hearing that? Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. When you get saved, friend, God takes you and puts you in the faith. So faith, a real Bible faith, is something that God puts me in. But it's not just that God puts me in the faith. God puts faith in me. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves that Christ Jesus is in you. See, I know I'm saved because of what my salvation put me in. But I know I'm saved also, Brother Aaron, because what salvation put in me. Amen. Well, that's right. So write it down. This is something I wrote down. The Bible tells us here that he had faith, chapter 11, verse number 5, and verse number 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know he had faith because he did please God. What if pleasing God was the confirmation that you had faith? It was for Enoch, evidently. But anyway, here's what I wanted you to, I wrote this down. He believed God, Brother Mike, he had faith. By faith, and then he did these things. By faith, he pleased God. By faith, he had this testimony, okay? By faith, amen? In verse number 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So I wrote down, faith is the reality, brings in the reality of God. You listen, you can't talk about walking with God if he's not real to you. By faith, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. What did that come from? 300 years of walking with God. 300 years of walking with God and was only terminated by his translation to glory. Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't really terminated. It was just, he went from here to there. He was translated. By faith brings in the reality of God. That word, faith, the word faith means confidence. Faith means conviction. Amen? By faith, we have a confidence in God. I've never seen him, and guess what? You hadn't either. No man hath seen God at any time, but I want to tell you, Brother Fultz, if he walked through the door, my friend, in bodily form, he wouldn't be no more real than he is to me right now. I'll tell you why. Because faith makes God real to me. Faith has eyes. The world says, show it to me and I'll believe it. Faith says, believe it and I'll show it to you. Thank God, God is real. I've never been to heaven, but heaven's real to me. I've never been to hell and will never go to hell, but thank God, it's real to me. Amen. I didn't meet Moses and that wrote the Pentateuch, amen, the first five books of the Bible, but I've never doubted that there was a man named Moses, amen, that got a word from God, amen. I never met any of those. I've never met Paul. I never met Jeremiah. I never met David. But they're real to me. Why? Because the faith, hallelujah, in my heart makes the Bible and the things of the Bible real to me. It's real to me. Hey, man. I've never seen the Lamb's Book of Life where my name is. But Brother Randy, I know it's there. I know my name is there, hallelujah. Lord, to strike up a verse of that song, amen. I know my name is there. You say, preach, have you been there to see it? No, I don't have to go there to see it. I'm going there to one day where it is, but I don't have to go there to see it. Why? Because I already have the inside confidence. Hey, the inside confirmation, the inside witness of the Holy Ghost that I am saved, that the deal is done. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! If you have the Holy Ghost in you, that's a chip of heaven inside of you. That's a big chunk of heaven already inside of you. And the Holy Spirit in me tells me the deal is done. The deal is done. I am S-A-V-E-D. I am saved to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, faith. Faith is what brings about the reality of God. Nothing that Enoch did he would have never done if he hadn't have had the reality of God in him. I wonder where that's at in a lot of people. Amen. I really do, Brother Fultz. I wonder where that's at in a lot of people. Is God real to you? Have you, I'm getting ahead of myself right here, but maybe the Lord wants me to mention it twice. Have you experienced God? Is God real to you? I thought today about the Israelites that come out of Egypt. The Israelites and those that came out of Egypt. Those that hardly got outside of the side of Egypt, Miss Debbie, and they was already wanting to go back. They was already, Brother Ivan, talking about the leeks, onions, and garlic and the appetite and the melons of Egypt. And they kept whining around, always wanting to go back. And God feeding them heavenly manna, Brother Randy, and they were still wanting to go back to Egypt. I'll tell you why, friend. They were out of Egypt, but Egypt was not out of them. Amen. God wasn't real to them. What was real to them, Miss June, was that appetite and that environment of Egypt. That was what was real to them. And let me tell you, friend, I promise you, and you can write it down and say, Preacher Rackley said it. If God is not real to you and the world is, you may go to the church member route, you may be a Baptist, you may get baptized, and you may walk this walk, but somewhere down the way when you get a chance, you're going to turn around and go just as fast as you can back to where your heart is in Egypt. Oh, yes. Amen, hallelujah. 1 John 2, they went out from us because they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. Amen. That crowd that quits and throws in the towel and goes back to the dogs, amen, goes back to the leeks and onions of Egypt. That's what's real to them. That's what's in their heart, amen. 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 I hate to be preaching like a wild man tonight, but I'm feeling good in my soul. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. What about a child of God that does get in the ditch? What about a child of God that does trip and stumble? What about that? I'll tell you what. Listen, inside of them, they're looking back at that manna they used to eat. Inside of them, Brother Fultz, they're looking back. They're looking back to those experiences with God. And I want to tell you, likewise, first chance they get, they're going to claim 1 John 1:9. They're going to repent. They're going to get right with God. And they're going back, praise God. Yes, they never come back. They never had nothing to start with. Amen, that's right. And I don't believe it takes God 30 years to get you back either. Say amen right there. Amen. I know you can preach the prodigal in Luke 15 as a saved person. You can preach him, you know, as a person backslid on God or whatever. But the truth is that when he was down there feeding on the husk and starving to death, amen, he was thinking back. The Father's house was in him. And when he come to himself, Brother Randy made the move to go back to the Father's house because he said they've got bread and plenty to spare. I'm going back. Amen. But that crowd that you try to preach to and coax along and try to pull to walk right and live right and do right, and then the next thing you know, listen, they're out of church. Listen, the Barner Group, I don't have it with me tonight. I wasn't aiming to use it or I'd have brought it. That big full-page ad that the Barner Group did a poll and it showed their 88%. Of kids, young people raised in our evangelical churches, raised in our churches, when they get 18 years old, will leave church and never come back. If that's not true, then where's all the young people at? Hey, man. Where I'm talking about an average church. Where are they at? Where's the young people at? Listen, across the board, that's got a heart for the Lord. Amen. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I'm going to tell you, if some of you in this building, some of you that come to church here that maybe are not here tonight, whatever, listen, if you don't get a heart for God, the first chance you get, you're going to tuck tail and you're going to head out and you're gone. What's going to keep you here? What's going to keep you in the will of God? It's going to be the reality of God. You have experienced God. If all you have is mama's dress tail profession and all you have is daddy's britches leg, amen, religion, I want to tell you that won't help you. That won't help you when you have a valley in your life and a battle in your life and a trouble in your life. Mom and daddy's been gone since daddy died in 06, mama died in 07. I want to tell you what, I'm still in here. Why? God's real to me. You know why I didn't ever go back to the old bar stool? All my friends said he'll be back. You know why I never did go back? Ain't where my heart's at. Faith brought in the reality of God. God's real to me. Amen. I wonder about people that's all around it and never seem to get in on it. Amen. I wonder about that. I wonder about that. I preach and I've seen God move. We've seen God move here. And I've seen people, I still remember it back. I don't remember now how long ago it's been. I'm not going to get too detailed there. But I'm talking about Listen, it was one of them times the God of heaven walked through this place. It was so thick you couldn't stand it in this place. It was plumb foggy in this place. And I was in the pulpit kind of directing traffic the best I could with what God was doing. And I looked back and I saw an adult playing peekaboo with a child. I saw an adult playing. I'm talking about the Shekinah glory of God was in this place, Miss Nancy. Thick. You know what was on their mind? Now, if it had been a dead service, I'd have probably wanted to play too. At least we'd have had some kind of excitement. But I'm talking about God moving. I'm talking about it thick. I'm talking about the presence of God in this place. And you're playing peek-a-boo with a baby. Faith. By faith, he done all this. Why? Because it was real to him. I'm not going to get no further, don't look like. But listen to this. That's all right. Faith is the foundation for pleasing God. Why? Because he's real to you. Do you think Enoch walked 300 years in a direction with a phantom? Do you think Enoch walked with God 300 years with an imaginary God? Absolutely not. He walked with God 300 years, Brother Fultz. Because, come on now. God's a spirit, so Enoch was not walking with a visible presence of God. And you and I are not walking with a visible presence of God. Faith, Brother Mike, makes God real to us. Hallelujah. I talked to him today. Woo, he talked to me today. Hey, man, God's fed me out of his word. Are you listening? Hey, man, that's right. Faith, brother, when true saving faith, Bible faith gets in your heart, I want to tell you, there's a response to the reality of God in you. That's what's going to keep us going when the storm comes. That's what's going to keep us going, Brother Craig, when the bottom's falling out and things are falling to pieces and the economy's gone and the political situation's gone and the moral compass of our country is gone. What's going to keep us toting a King James Bible? What is it that's going to keep us gathering ourselves together as the manner of some is? Are you listening? I want to tell you what it is, amen. God's real to me. Feeling a little bit of it tonight, amen. Hallelujah. Hey, man, Brother Dylan, come back tonight. Ain't that a good sign? I told him a while ago, I said, I see people make profession or see people claim to get right with God. You never see them no more. And God forbid they come back on Sunday night if they got in Sunday morning. But he was back Sunday night, and then he's back, on Wednesday night. What about that? And his mama's a-grinning like a possum over here. Say amen right there. Why? How long you been at wanting your son beside you, amen? Not just physically beside you, but spiritually beside you. I'm concerned about people that never seem to enjoy, experience the reality of God. I wouldn't trust that 5 minutes. Well, amen, listen to this. Let me give the rest of it. Amen. Look at Hebrews 11, 1. You talking about reality? Hey, man, we'll pray here in a minute. Evangelistically speaking. I'm having a good time tonight. Are y'all listening? Now, faith, the same faith that was operative in Enoch's life, Noah's life, Abel's life, Abraham's life, right on down through this chapter. The same faith. Now, faith is, the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things, look at this, not seen. Faith has eyes. Faith sees the unseen. Oh, you say, preacher, you what did you eat for supper to be making such a statement like that? Well, let me just help you with your criticism right there. If you were thinking that, look at chapter 11, Verse 27, a man by the name of Moses. Look what it said about him. By faith he forsook Egypt. What about that? His faith caused him to deny and denounce some things. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Come on, watch out. What's the next statement? As seeing him who is invisible. How do you see the invisible? You can't with your natural eye. But oh, faith has eyes, sis. Faith looks beyond this veil of tears. Faith looks beyond the horizon. Amen. Faith, hallelujah, allows us to see and experience the invisible God. Let me give you another proof text on that. I wasn't aiming to get on that. Hey, man, I've got out of that teaching mode. We're in a let her rip mode, hopefully. Hey, man, it's good. It's helping me, buddy. Listen to this right here, if I can find it real quick. Let me find it right here real quick. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 4. Yep, 2 Corinthians 4. Look at, or excuse me, chapter 3, verse 18. Let's read it first. But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What about that? God said, we're beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord. Look at chapter 4, verse number 17. Let me read verse 16 with it. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, and listen, your outward man is your fleshly body, your fleshly features, your fleshly senses. Your outward body sees this world. Your outward body is hooked up with this world. You have a human nature that hooks you up with this world. But that's not the only one for a saved person. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is not hooked up, Miss Betty, with this life and with this world. The inward man is that spiritually regenerated, born from above man that's hooked up with the world to come, that allows us to see the reality of the things of God. Hey, you'll never get excited about what you can't see. Or I could say it another way. All that you ever get excited about is what you can see. That's why a lot of people, the only thing they ever get excited about is something material, something financial, something physical, something earthly. That's all they ever get excited about. You know why? They're operating off of these eyes that's attached to the fleshly nature. But God's people have an inward man, Sister Stacy, and an inward man has eyes, and that inward man's hooked up. Woo! Hey, man, hooked up with heaven, hooked up with him. Oh, boy. Now, you did hear what I read. I didn't elaborate on it. Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance. Substance is something I can put my hands on. Substance, Miss Candy, is tangible. Substance. Faith allows me to enjoy the grip around spiritual things, the tangible. Hey, how do you know heaven exists and all of that? My faith can touch it. My faith, amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence. Brother Fultz, I don't know what your address is, but it's on McKinney Chapel Road. Is that what it is? Anyway, Brother Fultz has got a house over there. I don't have to go over there to know that Brother Fultz has got a house, though I've been there, but I don't have to go there. If he had with him tonight the deed for that house, that property, he said, here, preacher, here's the deed. Here's the deed, preacher. That deed is evidence of a house that I can't see from here. Oh. Amen. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the title deed of what you can't see with these eyes. Where's the reality of it? But anyway, listen. Amen. Faith, praise God, I like it. Faith, within your faith, there is evidence and substance of spiritual reality. This ought to help you to know whether you're saved or not. It definitely ought to help you whether you're spiritual or not. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. Four times in the scripture, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Boy, I like that, don't you? Anyway, let me give you a second thing, quickly. Back in our text. It shows us faith. That is, he's believing God. In fact, he says it again in verse number 6. For without faith it's impossible to believe to please him. And then it says, for he that cometh to God must believe. How much emphasis does that need? Starts out by faith, Enoch. Then it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And then in verse number 6, it said, he believed, must believe that he is. Your faith brings about the reality of God. Secondly, something else it said about Enoch was that he not only he believed God, but the Bible tells us that he pleased God. Faith is the foundation for pleasing God. Pleasing God is what is produced by your faith. It's what grows out of your faith. Amen? That desire to please God and to honor God. When people tells me, and I've had them to tell me, and you've probably had them to tell you, preach, I'd get saved, but I can't live it. That is a true statement. And I've always agreed with them when they say that. I said, that's truth. You can't live it. But what the Bible teaches is that when you get saved, the liver comes inside of you and lives through you that life. Amen? Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, so we have, it says he believed God, he pleased God, he pleased God, and it says that he was seeking God there in verse number 6. Must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All of these things grows out of and is produced out of faith. Where is that in people today? Where is that diligently craving, investigating, requiring, seeking God at? You seek what you need. If you don't need it, you don't seek it. Hey man, when you get hungry, what do you look for? A new car? When you're hungry, you look for what your need is. You seek after food because you're hungry. You're thirsty, you seek after water or something to drink. Why? Because that's what your need is. We seek after God because that's what our need is. We're diligently seeking after him. Well, I didn't get nowhere near where I wanted to get. Amen. Let me give this to you real quick. I wrote down, this is not in my spiral notebook, but I wrote it down. I happened to find this today. It was in another stack. I was flipping through there and I thought, wow, I remember God giving that to me about Enoch. But anyway, Enoch walked with God 300 years in wicked days prior to the flood. How? He did it. He believed God daily. He walked with God, right? Daily, 300 years. He believed God daily. He behaved with God daily. That is, he was conscious of God. Think about that. He was conscious of God. He believed God. He behaved with God. He beheld God daily, was his focus. He blessed God daily, was his fellowship. And then he besought God daily. He sought him diligently. Amen. There's no wonder that he was the man that he was. Amen. Because he was governed by, controlled by, influenced by his own faith. Amen. When you have to have somebody else around you to pull you, push you, try to get you to doing right, living right, and all that, where's your faith? See, Brother Ivan, if you've got faith, saving faith, Bible faith, and it's real in you, whether I'm around or not, whether other church members are around or not, that faith is operating in you, hooking you up with God, making you God conscious, making you alert the God around you. It's easy to talk to somebody when you're aware that they're listening, when you're aware that they're around. Amen. Hallelujah. When I took my little morning journey down the road, this walking, amen, I talked to him today. You said, preacher, was he with? Oh, yes. I took that literal. I took that literal. Enoch walked with God. I said, come on, God, we're going to walk. Now, you keep up. No, I didn't have to keep up. Slow down a minute, God. Amen. God doesn't need a cardio workout. Amen. But I walked with him, and I was conscious of him. And while I was conscious of him, I talked to him. It's easy to communicate with someone that you're conscious of. You'll never talk to somebody unless they're on your mind. You'll never walk with somebody, never want to please somebody, but without first you're thinking about them. They're on your mind. If you want to please God, Brother Ivan, God will be on your mind. If you're wanting to please people, they'll be on your mind. If you're wanting to please your peers, they'll be on your mind. But if you want to please God, He'll be on your mind. You ought to ask yourself tonight, is God real to me? Now that's a question I cannot answer for you. Is God real to you? I can't answer that question to you. But I believe this, you can answer it. Either yes or no, you can answer that. And me personally, I would not put any stock, any confidence, any dependence on a profession of faith that does not bring about the realness, the reality of God in my life. Amen. Amen. Abraham, I don't think it ever said that Abraham walked with God, but it did say this about Abraham, he was a friend of God. What about that? What a testimony. What a statement. He is a friend of God. Amen. Somebody said they went into a, I wasn't thinking about using this right, I got the details on it, but this great man of God that was known for his prayer life, and this young fellow wanted to talk to him and wanted to inquire, you know, find out all he could about his prayer life. And so the man took him into his prayer room, Miss Candy took him into his prayer room where he prays, where he spends time with God, and there was two seats. And the young fellow said, what's the deal with two seats? He said, well, right here's where I sit. And he said, right there's where God sits. And he said, I sat down and I said, we talked just as friends, you know. Said, I pour my heart out to him. I tell him about my concerns and my cares. And hey, that's what he is. Amen. I heard the... I can't remember now who I was hearing preach it this week. And they said they was talking about an example similar to that. It was talking about a man that was known for his prayer life. And this young preacher was actually traveling with him in this particular event and was going with him to a meeting where he's preaching. And he was thinking, you know, okay, we're fixing to get ready for the bed, you know. I'm fixing to witness this man in probably a two-hour prayer session, you know. Said that old man of God that was known for power and prayer and everything, said he got down beside his bed and said, Lord, it's been a good day. You've been good to me. Good night. I'll talk to you in the morning. And he got up and got in the bed. And that young preacher's like, what? I figured that we was fixing to see the Shekinah glory, God come in, you know. And said he just talked to him like he's his pal and buddy and best friend. But the truth, what he found out and discovered was that that man had been talking to the Lord and walking with the Lord all day long. And that was just the ending words. Lord, it's been a good day. I've enjoyed it. I'll see you in the morning. Good night. And the God who never slumbers or sleeps said, I'll be awake. I'll be awake. I'll be awake. Hey, man. Boy, listen, I think we put, and listen, don't misunderstand me. I think sometimes we put God so far out yonder somewhere. And He is more to be exalted than we can ever grasp with our little brains. But Abraham said he's a friend. Enoch walks with him. People in the Bible and you and I talk to him. Would it help us, Brother Craig, if we realized that he, instead of being way over yonder somewhere, way out beyond the Milky Way, Brother Aaron, he's right here. Or sit down in your chair and say, how you doing, God? Hey, God, I ain't doing too good. That's what I had to say. God, I ain't doing too good. He'll say, I know. Tell me about it. Well, Lord, I've been living by sight, and I told you about this while I got, I've been letting my feelings get in the driver's seat of my faith. My faith is following my feelings, and that's a train wreck for anybody. Lord, I'm not doing too good. I've got my eyes on people and problems and pressures, and have you ever had to talk to the Lord like that? I've never got no help, Brother Randy, coming to the Lord, you know. Me and about this far from a spiritual grave. Our most kind and benevolent Heavenly Father. No, Peter didn't have time when he was sinking to come out with all of that. What if Peter would have said, I've got to be real dignified and refined, and I've got to be starched, and, you know, I've got to read my prayer book. Our most kind, benevolent Heavenly Father. Well, there he went. But no, Peter said in haste, in urgency, Lord, save me. Three words. Immediately hook up. And God reached out and called him before his head could even go under and raised him up, set him back upon top of the water, and they walked back to the ship. Praise God. If nothing else, maybe the Lord's helped us tonight to just realize that God is in my practical world. God is in my practical world. He is with me. What was it David said? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Here it comes, Brother Craig. For thou art with me. Come on, God, let's go. When you get out of your car, listen, God don't stay here at night. He don't pull out a suitcase and sleeping bag, wait on us to come back Sunday. When the last saved person leaves here, God's gone from this building. When you get out of your car, you ought to say, come on, God, let's go. Not come in here and say, I wonder where God's at. I wonder if we're going to have a good service. No, you bring him. Get out of the car and say, come on, God, let's go. We're going to have church. Me and you, we're going to have church. Wouldn't that make a difference in the song service while you're singing instead of having your mind on who's listening and everything? Just focus. Sing. Well, the Bible says it this way, Brother Eric. Sing as unto the Lord. Amen. If I was singing as unto Miss Debbie, then I'm right here. She's got my focus, and I'm singing to her, and I don't care what nobody else thinks. Sing as unto the Lord. Would that make a difference, Brother Craig, in the song service? Amen. Well, I'm going to hush. I've had a good time preaching tonight. Because what I preach tonight, I know I've been a pitiful example of. But I have experienced it. I have experienced the pleasure of God in my heart. I have experienced walking with God, Miss June. I have. That doesn't make me a spiritual giant because I have not been consistent 300 years or 36 years. January be 36 years. I can't say I've walked with God every day. I could have, but I didn't. But I do know. When I hear somebody preach about being filled with the Spirit, I know what they're talking about. When I hear somebody talk about walking with God, I know what that is. God consciousness, I know what that is. Amen. God pleasing you and your heart beating for Him. Amen. How long has it been since God was big, so big in you? You couldn't hardly think about nothing else. You had to go to work, you had to go to school, but it was like, come on, God. Amen. Get on the bus to go to school. You're talking to Him. You're conscious of Him. Amen. He's close. He's right there. He's in your world. That's big tonight. He's in your world. Amen. Amen. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And most of us cannot cast them too far. But if He's right here, if I mean He's right there, if He's close, be easy to say, Lord, I'm just going to roll this off of me onto You. Have you ever had to do that? Amen. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Man, alive, I enjoyed that. Goodness gracious. Fed my soul tonight. I want to please Him, don't you? God help us. Amen. And that's helped me, I'm going to tell you. And I appreciate all of you praying for me. That has helped me. You just don't know how that's helped me in the last week or so. Take that off of me and say, Lord, here it is. It's Yours. I can't handle it. And I'm talking about immediate freedom started. Can breathe. Brother King, I probably shouldn't have told his name, but Brother King told me, of course, he called me all the time. He'd whining around on me all the time. I said, Brother, you're just getting started, man. What are you doing? And he told me, he said he's in prayer. He is a praying man. Brother King's a praying man, buddy. He prays far more than I do, I guarantee it. But anyway, Brother King said he was a praying. Said, I was brokenhearted, preacher. He said, I was brokenhearted. Said, I was weeping before the Lord. And God spoke to him and said, those are not your children to whip, they're mine. And he said, God put that in his heart. And he said, God, you're right. They are talking about his church people. He said, they're not mine to whip. They belong to God. And he said, from that time, he said, happiness come back in my life, joy come back in my life. And he said, I noticed this. Me and him got to talking back and forth, which I turned that over to the Lord a little over a week ago. And I mean, just God said, give me victory. God's given me victory. You know, getting that off of me. So, Lord, it's killing me. I can't handle it. Regardless of what people does, I can't handle it. Here it is. And immediately I started, amen, praise God. And Brother King said this. He said, when God told me that and I took my hands off of it, he said this. He said, immediately I watched God starting to work on those people that was killing him beforehand. I said, you know what you just said, Brother King? He said, no, what? I said, you're saying as long as it was in your hands, God wasn't able to work. But when you got it out of your hands and put it in God's hands, then He went to work. Oh my, I got that. And I said, that's good. That's good right there, amen. Well, we've preached everything from Enoch to heaven to casting all your cares upon the Lord. Amen.